So, no baptism this morning. I apologize. I have 4 weekends in a row, but none today. So, Vern was here this week emptying out the baptismal. It made me kind of sad. We had a full 4 weeks in a row. So, exciting times. Good things going on around here. So, it's fun today to be able to talk about Thanksgiving and thankfulness. So, to begin that, I want you to think of your very favorite Thanksgiving song. There's some giggles out there. Why are there giggles out there? There's not a lot of Thanksgiving songs, are there? I mean, outside of church, actually, Christina, my cousin's wife, found a really good Thanksgiving song. And so you're going to have to look it up. It's by Ben Rector, and it's really hard to remember the name, but here it is. The Thanksgiving Song, okay? That's the name of it. But you have to look it up because it is a great Thanksgiving song. There's not many. He wrote it actually during COVID, but it's a great song, so you can look that up. Now, maybe your favorite Thanksgiving movie. Do you have a favorite Thanksgiving movie? Maybe if you watch a lot of Hallmark Channel or something, you might be able to come up with one, but I don't have a Thanksgiving movie. Your favorite Thanksgiving TV show, football, does not count as a Thanksgiving TV show. It's kind of hard to think of that stuff. It's not a very commercial holiday. Thanksgiving gets eclipsed. We go from Halloween to Christmas, and that's it. There is no Thanksgiving. It doesn't exist most of the time. Now, if you think about it, for marketing, this makes a lot of sense because the only thing to sell on Thanksgiving is what? Food, right? You sell food. And so other than that, the last thing you want as a marketer is to concentrate on contentment, right? What's the job of someone in marketing? It's to make you think you need something, isn't it? It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's medication or clothes. Their job is to make you think, wow, I really need that thing. Their job is basically to make you discontent. And so it doesn't make sense to focus on contentment as far as our world is concerned, as marketing is concerned. In fact, we've already skipped over Thanksgiving and gone to the day after, which is what? Black Friday, right? Yeah, sales. We got to sell some stuff. And so we've already gone there. We've already left Thanksgiving in the dust, even though it hasn't even showed up yet. But I'm going to submit to you today, as we go through our passage today, that we should be very careful, as believers especially, we should be very careful to not only recognize Thanksgiving, but to spend a serious amount of time, to give it some serious thought, some serious time, some serious meditation, to really make sure that we make the most of Thanksgiving as believers. And so that's what we're going to work on today. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about the keys to contentment, how we work on actually being content. And today what we're going to do is we're just going to look at a psalm of Thanksgiving, and we're just really going to spend some time celebrating Thanksgiving today. And I believe that it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that Thanksgiving is really just a month before Christmas. Because I don't think you can really celebrate Christmas. I don't think you can really celebrate Christmas and what it's supposed to be, what it's meant to be, until you've really taken that serious time to first be thankful. And we're going to see why that is at the end, and I'm going to challenge you on that today. But I think when we truly celebrate Thanksgiving the way it's meant to be, then Christmas takes on a whole new meaning in our lives, and it becomes maybe more beautiful than it's ever been. So remember this as we get started today. We will not be able to truly celebrate Christmas until we've taken time out for Thanksgiving, okay? We're not going to be able to truly celebrate Christmas until we've taken time out for Thanksgiving. So to do that today, we're going to look at Psalm 100. So if you want, you can go ahead and turn there in your Bible. Psalm 100 is where we'll be today, a very short psalm. It's only 5 verses. But we're going to spend our time this morning in Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 is a great psalm because there's only 5 verses, but in those 5 verses, there are 7 imperatives. And what I mean by imperatives are basically commands. In 5 verses, you get commanded basically 7 different times. It's telling us, do this, and 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 do this. In just those 5 verses. And so this is a psalm that's saying, hey, get out there and do these things. This is important. You can't miss this. You can't skip this. And the whole psalm is about thanksgiving. So let's read that this morning, Psalm 100. It says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, I just ask that you would make these things alive and clear and true in our lives. Lord, I ask that this time in your word would not be wasted, that we would truly take a hold of these things and that these things would make a difference in our lives. Lord, we are here today because we want to hear from you. We want to be changed. And if any of us is here for any other reason than to be changed by your holy word, then I ask that you would flip that switch in our heart, that would be our purpose of being with you today, with one another. Singing your praises, looking into your scriptures, is so that we would be changed, that we would be sanctified, made more like Jesus Christ each and every day. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ. We're going to see that apart from him, none of these things can be true in our lives. We're going to see that today. And so, Father, glorify him here in this place. Lift him up here in this place, because he is the only one who is worthy. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would move me out of the way. Lord, I am aware of my shortcomings. I am aware of my failures. And I am aware of the fact that if Shane comes here and he speaks under his own authority and his own power, then nothing will be accomplished. In fact, quite the opposite. We will have wasted our time here today. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need your spirit to work in the depths of our hearts. We need your living and active word to make a change in us. So from this moment on, I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. And the only voice that we hear now today would be your voice. Father, speak loud and clear to us. Make a difference in our lives through your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message today is A Lifestyle of Thanksgiving. And I hope that's what we accomplish today, is a lifestyle, not just a day, not just a holiday, but a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And here's the four things that I want to talk about. Number one is expressions of a thankful heart. What does a thankful person look like on a day-to-day basis? Secondly is the beliefs of a thankful heart. What is it that makes that heart thankful? There's something in the depth of that heart that makes it thankful. Third is the posture of a thankful heart. And what I mean by that is when you have a thankful heart, you approach God in a certain manner. You come before God a certain way, and we're going to see that. And lastly is the foundation of a thankful heart. At the end of the psalm, we get to see what our thankfulness is built on. What is really the foundation of someone who lives a lifestyle that is thankful? And at the end, we're going to see why these things are vital to understand before we can really celebrate the birth of our Savior. If the birth of our Savior is really going to mean what it's supposed to, then we're going to see why this thankful heart, this thankful lifestyle is really something we need to grab hold of. So let's begin. We're going to look at these first two verses, expressions of a thankful heart, verses 1 and 2. It says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, these first couple verses paint a pretty vivid picture. There's singing, there's dancing, there's shouting, all together with your friends and your family. Even the whole earth is called to do this. Now, we were at a birthday party the other night. We were celebrating this little one-year-old guy, my cousin's son. And there was dancing and celebrating and all these things over this little one-year-old guy. And there was some line dancing, and I didn't do it because I'm not good at it. But Faith was lighting some stuff up. You should have seen her. She was pretty awesome out there on the dance floor. But that's kind of this picture, is that we're all just having a great time. We're just celebrating together, dancing, shouting, singing. And the truth is, when Thanksgiving is genuine, it cannot be contained. It is not something that you can contain. You can't be a thankful person and be angry. You can't be a thankful person and be grouchy. You can't be a thankful person and be depressed. It doesn't work. There are expressions in your life of this Thanksgiving. Have you ever seen those Christmas videos of a little kid who opens that gift, that present, that they've wanted for so long, all year long. They can't wait to get it, and they open that present. What do? They shout, and they jump, and they run around the room. I can remember, sorry, I think this is the second BMX story in 2 weeks, but I can remember when I got my first BMX bike, and it was covered with a sheet, and I remember my mom and dad wanted me to put my hand on it so they could take a picture before I opened it, and I could feel the grip, you know, of the bike. And I was just like, I literally was like shaking. I was like, take the picture, I want to open the bike. Because it's so exciting. That kind of thankfulness can't be contained. We often think that thankfulness is this kind of spiritual obligation that we have towards God. Basically, in the back of our minds, it's something like, well, I'm actually miserable, but I know I should be thankful. So I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot. It's actually the opposite of putting on a facade. It's singing and dancing and crying and shouting, and no matter who is watching. So I want you to remember this. True inward thankfulness is always expressed outwardly in some fashion. And I don't know what it is for you. Do you have those people in your life that you can just tell? They just live every day thankful. And when you see them, it brings joy to you. Because they just thank God for every breath that they have. And it's expressed in their life in some way. Maybe they're not dancing around, but in some way you can see it. It's just there, it exists. But if it's going to be genuine, like we're talking about, then you have to know where it comes from. You can't fake it. So where does it come from? Let's look at the beliefs of a thankful heart. Verse 3 says this. This is our second point. Verse 3, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us, and we are His, the sheep, His people, the sheep of His pasture. Your beliefs are an important part of your thankfulness. They are vital. They are what causes this expression. So what do the beliefs look like? They're based on truth. And this truth is an increasingly intimate understanding of who God is. If you walk through this verse, phrase by phrase, it says, the Lord is God. Well, that seems kind of like the obvious one, right? Well, yeah, of course, the Lord is God. Let me explain to you what that means. The one that we worship today, the one that we're singing praises to, the one whose word we're studying, is the one and only true God over all that ever was, ever is, and ever will be. There's a lot of things in our life that, whether we admit it or not, we worship, that come and go, that are weak, that have no power. But today, we worship the one true God over all of creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord is God. And the second part of that, the Lord is God and He made us. So what's important about that? The Lord is God and He made us. Since He created us, we belong to Him. God created us and we belong to Him. You know what that means? He can do with us whatever He wants. He has absolutely no obligations to us whatsoever. We are His creation. And He has the ability to do whatever He wants with us. But then it goes on to say, He is the shepherd, and we are His sheep. He is the shepherd, and we are His sheep. Even though He can do whatever He wants with us, even though He has no obligation to us whatsoever, because He is the God over all creation, and we are simply His creation, He is pleased to shepherd us. He is pleased to care for us. To watch over us. And in case you don't think this is an incredible truth, I want to remind you of something Jesus said in the book of John. A lot of you probably heard the first verse in here, John chapter 10, verse 10. But I want you to keep reading after that. John 10:10 says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. That's why Jesus came. And here's how He explains it even further. I am the good shepherd. He's chosen to shepherd us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he's not a shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And in case you missed it the first time he said it, I lay down my life for the sheep. So look at that again. The Lord is God over all creation. He has made us, and we belong to him. And yet he has chosen to do what? Lay down his life for us. Remember this. The Alpha and Omega, the one who's created us and has complete freedom to deal with us however he wants, has chosen to love us and give his son for our rescue. That, brothers and sisters, is the beliefs of a thankful heart. And at this point in the psalm, I want to paint a picture for you. The way this psalm would work in ancient Israel is as the people from surrounding Jerusalem would come for worship, they would begin to head towards Jerusalem. As they approached the gates of Jerusalem, they would be singing these first three verses, verses 1-3. They would sing, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And then the choir from inside the walls of Jerusalem would answer with verses 4 and 5. This is what the choir inside Jerusalem would sing back to the people. And it would begin now in verse 4, where they sing out, "Enter his gates. Enter his gates." Let's look at verse 4. This is the posture of a thankful heart. What I mean is, this is how you approach God. This is the posture of a thankful heart. And here's what the choir from inside the walls of Jerusalem would sing. Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." When a person is living a lifestyle of thankfulness, they approach God with a certain posture. Let me first show you how you should not approach God, okay? Isaiah 1:12 has a very convicting verse. It says, "When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts?" That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? To approach God and his response to be, "Who asked you to come trample my courts?" So the last thing I ever want to do is approach God trampling his courts. So what's the right posture to approach God with? Well, it's definitely one, at the very least, of thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it will change your entire prayer life if every one of your prayers begins with, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I've been trying for a long time to train my children in this way. And I can tell you, I didn't tell them they have to do this. I've just tried to set this example for them in our home. I've tried to always start every prayer in our home with "Thank you, Lord." And I will thank him for some specific things from just the day. And now I have at dinner time, I just choose one of the kids randomly to pray and be like, "Nathaniel, would you pray for us?" Or, "Melody, it's your turn. Why don't you pray for us tonight?" So before dinner, one of the kids always pray. And I can tell you almost, I would be struggling to find a time where they don't begin the prayer with, "God, thank you for," and that's where they start. That is the posture that we approach God with. It is one of thankfulness. It is not ever one of deserving anything. It's not ever one of entitlement. It's a posture of thankfulness. And you may say, "But Pastor Shane, in my deepest, darkest trials, I don't have anything to be thankful for." Have you ever been through a time where you feel like you don't have anything to be thankful for? Well, guess what? In those times, you always have Jesus. And here's what's so important about that. You don't get to approach God without Jesus. The only reason you get to come before him and not be trampling his courts is because Christ tore the curtain in two that separated us from the Holy of Holies. None of us deserve to be in the presence of God. None of us deserve to bring any request before Him. And so at the very least, when you approach God, you get to say, I am completely downtrodden. I am in the midst of trials I don't know how to deal with. I am completely overwhelmed. I want to give up right now. But you can start by saying, God, thank you for your Son. Thank you that I can come to you right now because I don't deserve it. You at least have Jesus to be thankful for. Probably a multitude of other things that you've forgotten about because of your trials, but at the very least, you have Jesus. Alton McEachern says, may God, who has given us so much, give us one more thing, a grateful heart. That's the proper posture, one of thanksgiving when we enter His presence. And I want to put it this way for you to close this point out. A thankful person always begins their prayer with thanksgiving. This is the posture they take every time they approach God. In fact, if you truly have that thankful heart that I was talking about at the beginning, this is one of the ways that you express it. It's difficult to approach God without being thankful first, because that's just where your heart's at. The last point today is the foundation of a thankful heart. That's verse 5. End of our psalm today. For the Lord is good, and His faithful love endures forever, His faithfulness through all generations. Finally, we come to our foundation. And here's what I mean by that. If you notice, everything so far has been those imperatives that I was talking about at the beginning. Everything's been those commands, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. But then all of a sudden in verse 5, how does it begin? For. What that is that's the foundation. That means do all these things because of this. Do all these things because of verse 5. Here's why we're thankful. Here's why we're singing. Here's why we're approaching God in this way. Because of this. This is the reason for everything that comes before it. This is the foundation for our thankfulness. And the foundation in verse 5 is God's chesed in the Hebrew. God's faithful, loving kindness that endures forever. Approach God with thankfulness because of His faithful, loving kindness, enduring love that He has for me and you. I would think, again, I've shared this with you before, I know me really, really well. I've lived with me my entire life. And I would think, after all the mercy and grace that God has shown me, He would have run out by now. But that is not the case. It will never cease. It will never end. Everything that you have in life comes and goes. Do you know that? Everything that you have. Look around you right now. Everything that you have in life comes and goes. You are always, and this is why we live in fear so often in our lives, because you are always in danger of losing what it is that you currently hold on to. You're always in danger of losing whatever it is that you are currently holding on to for your peace, your comfort. Remember, we talked about that a lot the last few weeks in our Keys to Contentment. You are always in danger of losing whatever it is that you're currently holding on to. But, and here's what I want you to remember at this point, God's love and faithfulness existed long before I was born, and it will hold me close on into eternity. That can never be lost. That's the foundation. Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am convinced, you can't change my mind, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've heard that verse so many times. But think about, look at that. Think about your fears. How many of you are afraid of death? Angels or demons, how many of you are afraid of the spiritual powers and the darkness that exists in our world? The present or the future? How many of you are scared of what's going on right now, or you're really worried about tomorrow or next week? Height nor depth. Anything in all creation, no matter how powerful someone is, or no matter how deep and dark and evil people are and what they're doing, is that does this not encompass everything that we fear on a daily basis? And what of it can remove us from God's hands? Not a single bit. What a beautiful and powerful foundation for thankfulness, a foundation that rises far above any temporary pleasures we have. So let me close with this. People are already skipping Thanksgiving. So as soon as Thursday's over, nobody's going to say another word about it again. And everything will be about Christmas, or at least Black Friday first. But as I said at the beginning, it's so vital to truly celebrate Thanksgiving before we celebrate Christmas, and here is why. If we live a life of discontentment, always wanting more, always believing we deserve more, then we are trampling God's courts by approaching the manger with an attitude of entitlement. How dare we approach the manger with an attitude of entitlement? And we would not say this out loud, at least I hope not, but I think sometimes in the depths of our heart, we come to the Christmas story with this attitude. Well, yeah, of course Jesus came for me. Of course he died for me because somebody needed to rescue me. So of course he did it. I'm going to submit to you, no, they didn't. No, you don't deserve to be rescued. And neither do I. There is no entitlement there whatsoever. When the God of all creation stepped down from heaven and became a man, you didn't deserve it. We don't deserve that. Nonchalantly approaching the remembrance of God stepping down from glory and becoming flesh for you and I is a shameful trampling of God's courts. If you think you're entitled, Christmas is meaningless. Let me say that again. If you think you're entitled, Christmas is meaningless. It holds no meaning for you if you think in some way you deserved it. However, if we're living this lifestyle of thankfulness, already in awe of God's goodness on a daily basis, if every day we wake up in awe of the goodness of God and what he has done for us, then the announcement of Christ's birth is shocking, overwhelming in its sheer beauty. The sacrifice, the grace, the mercy, the generosity of our God is unimaginable when we stand before the manger. That's the way I want to celebrate Christmas. If you truly want to celebrate Christmas this year, celebrate Thanksgiving first. Begin by living a lifestyle of thanksgiving today. Amen. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today I want to thank you. I just want to thank you. And the list goes on and on and on. But beginning today, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's not a single one of us that was deserving in any way. In fact, quite the opposite. We had deserved anything but grace and mercy. We earned wrath and condemnation. And yet, in your incredible loving kindness, your grace and your mercy, you sent your Son. Thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in the likeness of a man, becoming obedient to death, and not just death, but death on a cross. Lord, because of that, today he is exalted to the highest place and given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the way that we want to live our life, confessing every day that Jesus is Lord. worshiping, praising, giving thanks for what was accomplished for us. So, Lord, do that work in our lives. Do that work in our hearts. Lord, let us be a people that just live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, that all the things that we've talked about today would become our normal routine. That these things are so real and alive and vibrant in our hearts that we can't help but give thanks. That can be our only reaction to what it is that you've done for us. And so, Father, do that in us today. And I just ask that this week would be that first step, that we would wake up every single morning, that we would be looking forward, just like a little kid can't wait for Christmas morning, that we would be little kids looking forward to giving thanks every day. Not getting, not receiving, but giving, praising, glorifying. That we would be excited to wake up and do that every single day. So Lord, do that work in us so we can truly appreciate what it is that you've done, what you've accomplished, and what you're still accomplishing in us. The sanctification now and the glorification you have in the future for your people. And then, Father, I ask that through that, the men and women in our lives would come to know who Jesus is, that they would give their lives to you, that they would be rescued from condemnation and seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms just as we are. Father, please do that work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.